up in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. So let's pick up there. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Paul, here in this, to me, famous passage, one of my early memory verses from Philippians 4, 4 through 8, and we should all memorize this. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and you notice it's singular there. It's not always. If it was always, it would refer to time. But alway, I guess it refers to more than time, in whatever way you're in, and whatever time you're in it, we are to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He emphasizes the rejoice. And sometimes it's difficult to rejoice, but that's when we need to have the Word of God in us. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. And of course, the moderation there is, we should take a little better look at the word moderation there. Let me open up my King James Plus here and look at the Greek. And the word for moderation is, your gentleness, your patience. That's what he's going for here. Let your gentleness, let your patience be known unto all men. In other words, God is calling us to be kind in our words, in our deeds, at all times. He says to all men, not just believers, not just those you agree with, but let your be gentle, be kind, be patient with all men. He says, the Lord is at hand. God is with us. He sees how we treat other people, and he's very concerned about it. Continues, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Again, we can look at the word careful, and what do we come up with in the Greek? I'm not going to try to say the Greek words. I'm just going to look at the definitions here. It says, to be anxious about, have anxiety for nothing. Don't allow anxiety to rule in your life. Be anxious for nothing. I think it says that in the New King James Version, but be careful for nothing. It says in the Authorized, be anxious about nothing, but in everything. So rather than worry, don't worry about things. Don't allow worry and anxiety to reign in your life, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by prayer, supplication, ask for what you need. That's right. That's what it means to supplicate, to ask for what you need, to let your, well, he says it here, with thanksgiving. So you supplicate and you give thanks. You ask God for what you need. You tell God what you're concerned about, what you would worry about if you didn't have a Heavenly Father who's going to take care of everything for you. You're like the child, you know? If you have a small child, and your small child is worried or hurts itself or something and comes to you crying, and you console your child, supplication, ask for what you need. Let God know what you're worried about, what you're anxious over, and then give thanks that it's in his hands. Let your requests be made known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. God promises you peace when you cast all your cares upon Him. As Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me. He cares for us, and He promises us peace. We get to rest knowing that whatever it is, it's in His hands. It's in the capable hands of an almighty God, and we can rest in that peace. Scripture also says, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. So no matter how bad it is, if we belong to Him, it works for good. It says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So our main worry should be, do we love God? Are we called according to His purpose? Then we know that all these things, good, bad, indifferent, troublesome, grievous, loss, all things work together for our good because we love God. And the longer you walk with God, the longer you're on that kingdom road that leads to life, that narrow way, the more you understand what that passage means. Because God uses all of these things to conform us to the image of His only begotten Son. Also there in that same passage, another memory verse, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Because whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son. And that's the only thing that if we were to worry is, am I one of those? And then we turn that over to Him in prayer. If you're worried, do I love God? Am I called according to His purpose? Well, there's your prayer right there. Oh, God, please, Father, Heavenly Father, I want to be one of those that are called. I want to be called, and I want to be called according to Your purpose. I want to love You. Teach me how to love You. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. That's right. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And what a blessed gift we have from God. A peace that passes understanding. It passes the understanding of men, the mind, people who do not have that peace. In the world, they have to worry. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to pay these bills? How? And they lay a heavy burden on their children. They send them to the public schools, the Gentiles do, those in the outer court and those in the world. And so they seek after these things. After these things do the unbelievers, the Gentiles seek. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to feed and clothe my children? What am I going to drive? What? How am I going to? And so they go and they chase after these things, temporal things. They mind the things of the flesh. But Jesus said, seek first My kingdom and My righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. One of my favorite verses that I fell in love with as a baby Christian 40 years ago. I read that and I said, that verse is for me. And I'll tell you, 40 years ago, I didn't understand what I was reading, but I understood there was a promise there that God was going to take care of me and that all of the things that I needed would be added to me. Yeah. And so I ran with that. And that's how God's Spirit, that's how His Holy Spirit works in us. He causes us to latch on a few things in His Word, enough to keep us on the road that leads to life. Let's make sure we are there and that we stay there and endure till the end of our mortality. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, he's saying, change your mind. Change the things that you dwell on into things that are good. And he gives you a good list here. So now, we are to take every thought captive. Another scriptural reference for you. To take everything captive, also from Paul. And that's all that's being repeated here. You see the same theme over and over in different words. To take everything captive and bring it into subjection to Christ. So we think about things that are true and honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue and if there be any praise, we dwell, we think on good things. If you think on bad things, if you worry, see, you just got done telling us, don't worry. Don't dwell on that. Let your requests, whatever it is you're worried about, give it to God. Let him know what you want. And then give thanks that it's in his hands and you don't have to worry about it. He said, cast all your care on me. That's what Jesus said. We carry around the weight of the world on our shoulders. And he says, you don't have to do that. I got it all in hand. It's all taken care of. Trust me and think about good things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard, verse 9, and seen in me, Paul says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That peace that passes understanding will not depart. Yes, and you know, here I am 45 years walking on the kingdom road and casting my care on him. And it gets easier as time goes by to trust in him and to follow these words. Stick with it. And when you fail, so what? Reach for the Father's hand. Don't be ashamed. He already knows. He's seen worse than you. He's raised up worse than you. Believe me. And nothing to be ashamed of. He wants to perfect you. He wants you in his kingdom. He doesn't want to lose you. He calls all men everywhere to repent, to crucify the deeds of the flesh, to carry their own cross. That's right. Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And that's the mind that we need to put on. We need to be content. And we can be content with a lot less than we think. And that's a lesson that we all should have opportunity to learn. Some people have a hard time doing without things that they're used to. Yeah. God wants to teach you to be content in whatever state you're in and to learn to be content. Because what we think we need and what we actually need may be two different things and usually are two different things. Actually, our hope is not even in this life and in the things that we need for this life. I would rather suffer deprivation than turn to the gods of this world for my sustenance, to take care of me, even death, because the prize that I seek is not even in this life. How many martyrs went to the fire, went to the rack, suffered the sword, and willingly, knowing that their true prize was beyond the grave. So when we think that we need this or that, we need to rethink and understand that we can do with a lot less. We could be content with a lot less. And The only reason that we're content is because all of the promises of God are ours. And the promises of God are to be greatly treasured above certainly the bare necessities of this mortal existence. The few luxuries that we may or may not have in this life, the promises of God far outweigh even our own life. Our own mortal existence cannot be compared. As the scripture says of the martyrs, they loved not their lives to the death. They placed a higher value on the resurrection of Christ than their very own lives. And we all, especially in these days, that where we are foretold that there will be many martyrs who will refuse to receive the mark of the beast and worship the Antichrist or his image, many will lay down their lives, except for those that get to go on the rapture. Sorry, the rapture will be canceled. All three of the raptures will be canceled. But the resurrection is where our hope really lies. Not in some false rapture that happens during some 7-year tribulation deception, but in the true, the resurrection of Christ. The one that the Bible talks about. That's right, the resurrection. That's what Paul, he never talks about the rapture here. He talks about the resurrection of the dead. Paul continuing, those things, chapter 4, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And if you don't have peace, there's a good indication there that you're not doing the things that God has called you to do, to be one of his. You are a hearer only of the word and not a doer. You want that peace? If it eludes you, then repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That peace can only be found in his kingdom, on the narrow way that leads to life, that peace that passes all understanding. If you don't have it, repent and ask God to give it to you. And he will give it to you if you earnestly seek it. Continuing, Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, a lot of people get misled here, and they will misquote this to say that they can do all things and anything, and they'll apply this blanket across the board. But no, this in context, that we can go through anything. We can suffer lack. We can have plenty. Wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, it is enough for us. We can do all things, all these things through Christ. We can make it through with his strength. Notwithstanding, he continues, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul saying, I received a little support. And of course, the message here is that he continued on and he worked in Christ. It didn't matter whether he received the support or not. Ask me if I know what that's like. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent, once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound to your account. And Paul is expressing here that when you give to the work of God, when you give to the necessity of those that are sowing and planting and reaping in his kingdom, that you're adding your labor to theirs. Yes, you get credit in your heavenly account. You get treasure stored up in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, neither can thieves break steel. No one can take your prize from you. It will be waiting there after you endure to the end of your mortality in the resurrection. Okay, we're going to go into a little break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.